The following audio is from Faith Bible Church in Spokane, Washington. Visit fbchurch.org/sermons for more.
Thank you all for being here. I remember what it was like to have little kids, and you just want to make sure you really can do the thing you want, like the one thing once a month that you really, really, really want to do. And so it was kind of like, are they going to be well? Are we going to get out the door? Somebody fits up, you got to change the clothes, you can't find the shoes. It'd be crazy. So thank you for being here. Even if you were late, thank you for being here. I appreciate that. Okay. Well, let's pray and then we will commence. Lord, thank you so much that we are moms. Thank you for the privilege of that. Our children are a blessing and we are grateful. And Lord, you have charged us with raising them and you have charged us with enjoying them. So I pray that you would help me to share a little bit of what you have taught me, and I pray that the ladies would relax and that they would enjoy their time today. Thank you for our church. Thank you for the Bible. Thank you for Jesus Christ. Amen. Okay, as Vicki said, I am Wendy Doherty. I am married to Dennis, tall, dark, and handsome if you've seen him around church. I have four children. Campbell is 19. He's a freshman in college at Gonzaga. Woohoo! Daniel is 17, and Aaron is 14, a girl. They are both in high school. And Stephen is 8. He's 9. He just had a birthday last week. He's 9. He is in third grade. He's our little caboose. So they are a delight, and I can't believe that I already have a kid in college, that it does go so quickly. We have attended Faith Bible Church for 25 years, so I'm only, since I was a baby, of course. not really. We have been very blessed to be part of this church and to have raised our children here and to be able to gain wisdom from other people here. You hear a ticking? Is it my earring? I'm going to take it off. That's annoying. Okay. Woo! Okay. Is that better? Yes. Okay. We've just been blessed to have raised our children here and to have wise people give us counsel when we don't know what's going on with our kids. I wanted to tell you that if you have heard me speak last year or even in the parenting class, some of this is going to be a repeat. So not all of it. So I apologize. Or maybe I need to hear it again as well. And I also want you to know that much of what I'm going to say today is not born from being an expert. If you hear anything good, it's because God has been very good and kind. And he is good and kind. And if you hear things that you just think sound dumb or weird, it's probably just me, right? Dennis and I have not arrived. We are still on our parenting journey. And I don't know when that ends. You with older, I'm looking at great-grandma over here. It doesn't ever end, I suppose, right, Helen? So we have not arrived, and we are not the experts. We've probably learned more from our failures than we have from any successes. So tuck that away. And I also want you to remember that I think we think that our kids just remember all the mistakes that we make, but really, they don't. They are gracious, and they have a better memory of us as parents, I think, than we think. I think we're harder on ourselves than they would ever be to us. So my hope is that you see some of that grace in the form of having fun and playing with your children and enjoying them through the gift of story, and that you will build closer relationships with your kids and have some really fun memories with your children. So I love the magazine Reader's Digest, and many years ago I read an article in it about a family who had the means to do anything for their children. And they traveled the world. They saw the Seven Wonders. They saw the Leaning Tower of Pisa, the Parthenon. They did it all. And when their kids were raised and older, they sat down with them and they asked their children, "What was your best vacation that you ever had?" And they were shocked to find out, they also lived in Southern California, that their best vacation that they had ever had as a family was a long weekend where they were able to go across the border to Tijuana. They could drink as much pop as they wanted. They could play with the local kids and set off firecrackers in sewer pipes. That was their best vacation. And of course, their parents were appalled that they had spent all this time and energy and money to bless their kids. That was a blessing that they could do that. But their kids really didn't need that, right? They didn't need that. And I tell you that story because I think it's a similar story. We could hear that story a million times today, right? And I think we as moms can get very stressed out about our children and about our parenting. I'm not sure that there is even a parenting book out there that has a chapter on how to have fun with your kids. Did you ever find one, Lynn? I don't think so. And we want a formula that's going to make our kids happy and healthy, make them really smart, make them nice, and make them perfect, right? But there is no formula for that. Sorry to break the news. And then you throw social media in, which sometimes is terrible, not always terrible. But you see someone's best day, and it's probably not a typical day. Life can be too serious, and my hope is that you come away from today refreshed about time with your kids and fun time with your kids, good play time with your kids. And it may be nothing you ever share with anybody on social media. Maybe it's a special memory that you just share between you and your kids, one that you can look at one another and kind of give each other that look and smile. It's one that you can just kind of do a memory, right, like this. And I hope that you leave today encouraged and purposeful as you think about having fun and playing with your children. So I love to have fun. I mean, who doesn't like to have fun, right? Sometimes it is hard, and I can confess, as much as I like to play with my children, I can often be distracted by what I have to do or what is not done around the house. And I know that for others, thinking about playing with your children or even having fun, it can be stressful. There is the mess and the noise and the lack of order and the mess and the noise and the lack of order. And that's stressful. And it doesn't seem worth it to you as a parent or as a mom to even go through with it. And sometimes it's just easier when they are watching a movie, right? Or playing by themselves or they have a friend over. Sometimes it's just easier parenting. You may be a quiet person. You may be a loud person. You may have a lot of energy. You may not have a lot of energy. And there are also seasons of life where you're really just pooped out. And so thinking about having fun and engaging your children seems even more exhausting. And I understand that. Maybe you're the mom that loves to have fun all the time. And there is chaos in your house. And there's not order. And it's totally fun all the time. There are some people that are like that. But I think that there's a balance between entertaining your children all day versus never having any fun at all. Those are two ends of the spectrum, and if you lean one way or the other, that's okay. So take a deep breath, and here we go. Here are some suggestions. I tried to be cool like Vicky and go with like a letter, you know, like, so I went with P, but I didn't make it all the way, so bear with me. But I do have the first one. What is the purpose of play with our children? Well, practically, they grow in their large and their small fine motor skills, their imagination, their speech, and their vocabulary. And then it's fun to hear them try and use their new vocabulary words completely out of context. And then you just let them do that because they're little and you want them to stay little forever. They learn how to read and problem solve. They have a growth in their emotional well-being, their cognitive well-being. They get to exercise their bodies. And God's word says that he has given us all things to enjoy, and I think that includes our kids. Psalm 127:3 says, children are a heritage from the Lord. Offspring are a reward from him. Our kids are a gift, even when we don't feel like it. You are in the trenches right now, and some days it isn't pretty, and the old cliche, it goes so fast, doesn't really feel like it. One of the best lines of advice that we received when we had our first child was that the days are long, but the years go fast. And that has been very, very true in our family. We need help to see our children, not as Jen Wilkin jokingly says, as people rather than to resent them as laundry-generating, food-ingesting, mess-making, fit-throwing financial obligations. Play jogs us away from the tiring job of correcting our children and training them. So the purpose of our play can be, here's a little bit of a list here, and we'll go back to this. It can be spiritually oriented. So it can be acting out a Bible story, a craft, or singing devotions together, singing songs. It can be service-oriented, taking cookies to a neighbor, writing a card or a letter to somebody. How can you encourage somebody? Can you rake leaves for a neighbor and then jump into them and then pick them up again? Is there a holiday or a special event oriented, like cutting down a Christmas tree? That's one of a really fun event that we do in our family every year. Making Christmas cookies, a Valentine's craft or food, going to a play or a concert. Project-oriented, you could work together, painting a table, getting a craft kit from Hobby Lobby, building it. You could go to Lowe's on or Home Depot on the 1st and 3rd and 2nd and 4th. Is that right, Lisa? 1st. On Saturdays, and they have little building projects there, which are really fun. You can invite your kids to help you on a project, but watch your attitude on that. Sometimes help isn't always helpful. You can wash the car, and then you can have a water fight. Season-oriented, you can play in the leaves, make a snowman, have a day at the lake, ride bikes, hike, drive. And I don't know, I think they canceled the Lions drive train to Medellin Falls, but then we were just up there the other day, and I think they have reinstituted it. I don't know if anybody knows that or not, but apparently that's really fun. Fun-oriented or child-oriented, and this comes from, if you've been in the parenting class, A Biblical Approach to Parenting by Faith Resources. Jesus was a relational person, and he is the one that I want to emulate and who I trust. We have fun to make memories, to build trust with our children, to deepen our relationship with them, and to love them and to show them Christ. So second P, how do we have purposeful play? Well, first, the kids don't know that it's purposeful. Sometimes it's good to think long-term, like character building, training, diligence, hard work, life skills, service, self-control, fine motor skills, patience, and sharing. For example, did you know you can make chores fun at your house? It's true. You can, and the hope is that your kids will find it so fun that when they're older and it's not fun, it's just a habit and they just do it anyway. That's the hope. It doesn't always work out that way, but that's the hope. So, take laundry. It is so fun to do laundry. If you strip your beds, some of you already know this, and you sort the laundry, you can talk about colors and whose shirt is this. Is this daddy's shirt or mommy's shirt? Then the pillowcase becomes a giant mouth, right? And cool voices help. I'm so hungry. Feed me. You're supposed to feed me. See? So fun. Who else has one? Do you have one? Did I give it to you? I forgot who I gave laundry to. Well, then, or you can make a basket. Make a basket. I gave something to somebody else. Did I give somebody? Okay. I'm so hungry. I'm so hungry. So fun. See, they love it. And then they want to try it too. And then you've got your laundry sorted in the pillowcases. You can be anybody. You can be a pirate. You can be, you know, an old grumpy old man, and you can throw it down the stairs to the laundry room. So fun. Your kids will love it, I promise. And they've learned something, right? Okay. Did you know that scrubbing the toilet is so fun? It is so fun. And I didn't bring a toilet brush for obvious reasons. But the toilet is a giant tooth, and you have to scrub the tooth to get it all clean, just like when you go to the dentist, right? That is so fun. I mean, age appropriately, of course, chemicals, be careful. But it's so fun. When the children are a little older, you can create a job jar, right? Full of chores with a little additional fun, like, and they can't put it back. They can't look at it and say, I don't want that one. That's the rule. Like, oh, kiss mommy. So fun. After they dust the house. let's see. Oh, 5 minutes of free time. Well, that's so fun to do chores that way, right? Oh, go tell your brother 3 things you love about him. That's a really good one. Fosters relationships. So, and also when you're cleaning the house, loud music in my family really helps a lot. Makes it more fun. Making cookies is really fun. And we would just put a tablecloth down on the kitchen floor so that there was no reaching and less spilling. And then we made the cookies. But I always told, I started with my little boys, if you don't take a snitch, you get a better bite at the end. And it really, they didn't realize this till they were much older, but it was a lesson in self-control, right? There are blessings for those who wait and have self-control for the best thing. And so I hope that that has worked in their life so far. And sharing is also good in that lesson. I have a friend, somebody's sister over there, who often on May 1st takes her daughter out to pick flowers and deliver them to elderly neighbors, sometimes anonymously. That's really sweet. Is there someone you can help with yard work? Can you bake for someone? Can you serve your local church? All of these can be fun if, again, you have the right attitude. And we have to lead in that, Mom. Purposeful play can be character building for your children and can point them to Christ. My next P is plan for the play, plan for the fun. If there are supplies you need, be sure you have them. There have been many times when I have this great idea and then I realize, and the kids are all pumped up, and then I realize I don't have what I need, and then it just kind of fizzles out, and that's lame mom day. If it makes you anxious to plan fun, pray and ask God to help you plan in your own heart the right attitude prior to the fun beginning. If you have other work to do, purpose to relax and let it go for a while. Just, I know we're not men that can just box things up and shelf it, but really ask God to help us. Help us as moms to be able to do that, help you to do that. Put your phone away. It's important to note there's no quality time or purposeful play when mom is on her phone or on the computer watching TV or even reading a book, which seems less innocuous, right? But this is the message of unavailability to our children. I'm not saying that technology is bad, but you must be aware of how it influences your parenting. Make time to check your social media, your emails at nap time. Set a time when your kids are otherwise occupied and take care of it then. Have boundaries for yourself. And remember that they are watching and they will model. How do you want them to handle devices when they are older? Or even reading when they're older? We have found in our family that that can be a selfish activity. We thought that it was really cool, like just, you know, take a book and read, but you can disappear and not participate in the family anymore when you're, if you've escaped into a book. But I just don't want to be all negative about technology. It can be lots of things. But just add 10 years to whatever behavior your kid is doing. Many of you have heard me say that. Will you be the family at the dinner table looking at your device rather than having a conversation? Will your family choose technology over relational fun? It's a quick default. We've all been there. And our kids will appreciate our attentiveness and will trust us with their heart. If your child has different interests than you, prepare your heart to do that thing with them. Ask God to help you. Don't always make it about you and what you like to do. Do you hate Legos? Crafting messes? Playing cars and trucks? Or dressing up like a fairy? This is an opportunity to die to yourself. Think of your child's needs over your own. Again, this is what our days are. And just do it. And I'm not saying you let them run the show or you let them control you, but humble your needs, and it shows them love, and it models humility and sacrifice. It models Jesus. If it's an activity that costs money, have a budget and plan for that fun too. Playing with your kids is a way to build relationships with them, and it requires being relational. And I know that that sounds redundant and elementary, because of course you're relational with your children because you're with them all the time. But when you're in the grind with your kids, it can feel very tiring and your funometer is broken. But your kids need you to have fun with them. They need you to enjoy them. So don't plan. Be spontaneous. Make the most of every opportunity. Surprise your kids and give them the unexpected. Have cake for breakfast. That would be hard for me. Maybe protein on the side. Have opposite day. Play a game, work a Lego, go to the library, pretend. Read to them with weird voices. Go for walks, craft, give them a treat. Let them stay up late for no reason. dance. Make a fort. Enjoy your kids. Again, do with them what they enjoy, even if you don't enjoy it. You will be amazed at how they respond to you, how it opens doors to conversation and memory making. They will remember and they will trust you. And this is a blessing that can last long term and as they grow and as they mature. And I wanted you to notice that I did not say indulge your children. Most of the ideas you hear today are free. Many families are living on one income, and it's a challenge, but that doesn't mean that you can't enjoy your kids. Your kids don't need the most expensive toy. They don't need to go to Mobius and Chuck E. Cheese every day. They have what they need at home with you for the most part. Don't fall into the trap that it has to be these fancy things. My husband teaches at a local high school, and he is constantly amazed at how students confide in him that they just want time with their parents. They don't care about getting a new car when they're 16. They don't care about a fancy trip, really. They really just want time with their parents. There's no replacement for that. So I did an informal, highly scientific study of 17 women in my life. Some of you are here. Four of them did not respond, so 13 women. And I had them give me their top fun play ideas. So these are some of your friends in this room, and some are not. And some of them I'm going to highlight, because I really liked them. So, right, and some of these I think are on a piece of paper that you may have. Not all of them. So, a Friday night game night. A video or board game, a themed family dinner. And when I asked the person what this meant, she said, you can go, you know, you can get like the Campbell's soup that has Star Wars action figures as the noodle, or you can find, you know, SpongeBob crackers or whatever. But they had themed evenings where they just had food that looked like whatever character they were excited about. Pizza night, popcorn, snuggles and movies, car wash water fights, reading, sardines or hide and seek, running races. We used to do this when we would come home from somewhere. We have a tree in our front yard and then the driveway, and we would just run back and forth from the tree to the driveway. And I think our neighbors probably thought, I don't know what they thought, that we were just weird, but it was super fun. Just running for a little while and then we'd go in and do our thing. Making forts with your couch or chairs and blankets is so fun. And your kids will play for hours. Help them set it up. You can play in there with them. They can take action figures in there, or Barbies or dolls or whatever, and so fun. Playing outside. Mobius is fun. That's a fun treat. Nerf wars are very fun. Tea parties are very fun. And I have it on good authority that Julie Watts used to put on her wedding dress and have tea parties with her daughters. Isn't that sweet? That is so sweet. Your kids aren't going to forget that. Spa days. If you have little girls, this is super fun. I didn't know I would love this until I had a daughter, because I was a tomboy. And she brought out, I had two boys and then a daughter, and she kind of brought out the girl in me. And we would, you know, have a nice bath and then do our toes and then, you know, drink tea and do our fingers and our hair, whatever. It was really fun. Playing cars and trucks, baseball. Wooden trains, I think, are about the best toy out there. And it's a toy that I will never get rid of, because whether you have boys or girls, everybody likes wooden trains. And if you ever see one at a garage sale or someone offers to give them to you and you don't have them, snatch them up, because they're so fun. It's such a fun way to play and create. Spontaneous dance parties. This is very fun. If you're sitting eating a meal and you've got the radio on and a really cool song comes on, just get up from the table and just go dance for a while and then return to the dinner table. That's really fun. That's a great, fun play memory with your kids. Cooking is very fun. Donut dates. Ice cream sundaes for breakfast on the last day of school. That was a real one. Amazing race parties. Polka dot pottery when your kids are a little bigger is fun. Bubbles. Puddle jumping. Making homemade tortillas and cookies. Painting, hand print projects, Play-Doh, Legos, sandbox, hiking, library, shopping, park dates, helping in the kitchen, ABC walks. You go on a walk and you find things that start with an A and then with a B and then with a C. Do the whole alphabet. hide a stuffed animal to find in your house and play hide and seek. That was a fun one. Duplos, dried beans, playing with rice or water in the sink, puzzles, paint dauber art, yak, biking, picnics, feeding the fish at the hatchery, which does cost a quarter. But it's a fun quarter to spend. Hike the storybook trail by St. George's. I didn't even know what this was, but it sounds very fun. The Mudgy Millie hike in Coeur d'Alene. I don't know what that is, Lynette, but it sounds fun. Listening to audiobooks, just going for a drive and listening to a good story. Going to the play structures at the mall or at Carl's Jr. at McDonald's. The Coeur d'Alene Park play structure, I don't know if any of you have been there, but it's awesome. And we as a family, with the age span of our children, it's still one of our favorite places to go. And what we tend to do is get a game of tag going, and our whole family plays. And pretty soon we have created this massive tag game with all other kids saying, can we play, can we play? And it's a really, well, the setting is beautiful because you're there by the lake, but it's very fun. Drawing on sliding glass doors with safe markers. Play with the alphabet. Story time with weird voices. I'm going to speed up a little bit. Building a snowman. Did you know if you put food coloring in a spray bottle, you can actually make your snowman look cool with colors? That's fun. We made a BB-8 from Star Wars because we like Star Wars at our house. Very fun. Jump in the leaves, drinking hot chocolate, and walk. Anything with vinegar and baking soda is a win. It really is so fun. I don't know if we can feed the ducks anymore in Spokane, but that was fun to do. Earlier, I referred back to just thinking about a season of life, and I wrote down chase the fog. Many years ago, my dad was very sick and was dying, and I was his primary caretaker for the most part. And I was in a place in a season of life where I was not a fun mom. I was exhausted. I had nothing left for my family. And one day I looked out. We have a park in our backyard, and there was fog, kind of low fog on the ground. And I just said, just go chase the fog. Let's go chase the fog. And we just went out in the backyard, and you never can catch the fog because as soon as you run to where it is, it goes somewhere else. But it was something to do with my kids that was fun in a very hard, dark season. And I tell you that only to say that there's always something that you can do with your children. One game that some of you have heard us talk about is a patented family favorite. It's called Sock Whipper. And I should have brought it with me to show you. But if you take a long sock and you ball up other socks and stick it into the end of the sock, and boys really love this. If they take their shirts off, and then you just run around the house and you just whip each other with the sock. And it's fun because it kind of it leaves a mark, but it doesn't hurt. And so they feel really manly and cool. And of course, rules, no head, nothing below, you know, not nothing between here and here. Boys love it, and girls love it too. But boys, I think, love it more. Run through the sprinklers. Climb a tree. You can paint the fence with just a water bottle full of water. And then it just dries and it doesn't hurt the fence. So there's probably a million other ideas. But I wanted you to be confident that there is something out there that might work for your family. So I would encourage you that today when you go home, take a few minutes and circle things that look fun to your family. And things that maybe your kids would like and that you would like to do. Put it on your fridge to remind yourself. And be purposeful in your play. So I told you before, I love words, and I tried to have an outline that used all P's, but I couldn't make it work. Here's where I diverged. So I searched the thesaurus, and the only word that I could find for the next topic was peruse. But I really want to talk to you about books and about reading, because that is a wonderful way to play with your children. It's a kind of an offspring of play with your children. I will tell you that some of our sweetest times as a family and memories surround reading books. We have listened to long stories on road trips or even in the living room all together. We often use funny voices when we read stories. And even now, our older children will refer back to books that we have read as a family and apply it to some life situation. And I love watching our children writhe in excitement as I'm reading aloud a book, and they say, oh, I knew that was going to happen. It's just hilarious. They're so into it. When our kids were very young, we had practice reading time when we would have them sit on the couch and we would set a timer. and they had books to read, even if they couldn't read. And we would all read silently until the timer went off. Every few days, we would increase the timer time, especially if Dennis and I were in good books, we would increase the time. So they were learning to read and to enjoy reading and to work on sitting still, which is important, while they watched their parents model in the enjoyment of reading books. Most nights after the kids went to bed, we would go into their rooms and we would put books on the end of their bed or an end of their crib. And so when they woke up, it became their first activity when they woke up. And reading books became a habit and part of the daily routine. And it was really good for them to wake up and just have some quiet time to themselves. And quite frankly, it's really good for us as parents, right? That they're not just screaming for us the moment that their eyes pop open. It's true. So reading is amazing. It stimulates the brains of our children. It can help them to sit still. Can you see that's an issue in my family? It can help them to imagine, to play, to create, and to recreate, and to dream. They can learn to anticipate what will come next in the story. They can learn new vocabulary. They can discuss the rights and wrongs of what's happening in the story. You ask them, what would God think about that? Engage your kids with your reading time. I know at the young age of your kids, sometimes it's very repetitive. You could literally read the book with your eyes closed. But be of good cheer. This is very good for your children. Have them start reading to you. We can still, my husband and I can still recite books that we had 19 years ago. How about you? One fish, two fish. Okay. How about this one? A cow says moo, a sheep says three singing pigs say. Or stomp your feet, clap your hands. You got it. You get the point, right? I would like to share with you one of those magical mommy moments that just happened to me. Our oldest son is a history buff, and like I said, he's a freshman in college. And he's taking a history course, and I asked him about whether he had learned anything new. He said he had not, in fact, learned new things, but he had discussed topics that he remembered he did not learn in elementary school. He did not learn in high school, but there were topics that I had taught him when he was just a little kid, just from reading. That was like the best. It almost made me cry. It was fantastic, magical. I love Gladys Hunt. She is the author of Honey for a Child's Heart. I don't know if you know that book or not. I know that when you quote people, you should just use one quote, but the following were so good I couldn't resist, so bear with me. She says, "The savoring of life is no small thing. The element of wonder is almost lost today with the onslaught of the media and gadgets of our noisy world. To let a child lose it is to make him blind and deaf to the best of life." And I'll just do one more. "Since words are the way we communicate experiences, truth, and situations, who should know how to use them more creatively than people who are aware of their creator? The world cries out for imaginative people who can spell out truth in words that communicate meaningfully to people in their human situation." So with that, I would like to suggest to you, I'd love to suggest to you this wonderful resource from Gladys Hunt. I believe it's also at your local library, but it would be a good purchase just to have as a family resource. So the first portion of this book states why reading is so great for the culture of your family. And the second half is an amazing bibliography full of books. I can kind of show you. And she breaks it down into toddler books, board books, picture books, and then it goes into books for every age, and she breaks it all down. So it's an amazing resource. I have taken this book to the library. The library can be very, very overwhelming and overstimulating when you walk in and you see all these books and you think, I don't even know what book to pick. And some of them are just poorly written or they have weird messages. So it's a great resource to take. Sometimes if you just go online and just put a hold on the book you might like that Gladys Hunt suggested, then you can just go pick them up. Because I want stories with good pictures and a good story. A similar book called The Book Tree is another great resource. The authors are Elizabeth McCallum and Jane Scott, and they say that preschoolers need to be read stories that are beautifully written and beautifully illustrated. Both the sounds and the illustrations in children's books nurture their aesthetic sense. Young children love fairy stories and stories about talking animals and children engaged in simple tasks. They love enchanting rhythms and repetition. They want stories that reassure them about the love of God, the love of parents, the stability of home, and the orderliness of the world God has made. They need stories that praise good behavior, and of course, they love to laugh. So both of these resources list really quality books, and I'm mostly sure that it's free from questionable content, that I think most of the books that you would find in here are ones that you would approve of and you would want your children to read. And we have created our own Family Doherty book list, which has been really fun to have. So, but best of all, I love reading to children and teaching children to love reading because I'm convinced that reading the Bible is one of the best ways to know God. His rich story of creation, love, and redemption is all laid out for us to have. It's such a privilege that we live in a place where we can still freely read God's word and study it. If we teach our children to enjoy reading, it gives them a head start in learning how to meet with God and to learn about their sin, their need for a Savior, the sacrifice of Christ's death on the cross for their sin, the empty tomb where sin, death, and hell were conquered, and the hope of heaven with Jesus, our King, forever. They learn the unrelenting love of the God of the universe. This is all in the Bible, and it is our source of truth. There are some wonderful children's Bibles out there. One of my favorites is the Jesus Storybook Bible by Sally Lloyd-Jones. I love the art, and I love the message. Almost every story just points right to Christ, even the Old Testament stories. And I think that you would be hard-pressed to find any other book in the whole wide world that has more adventure, battle, love, peril, or victory in it. So bring the Bible to life in your home. Dress up and act out the stories. Use action figures or Legos or dolls to recreate Old Testament battle scenes. Put faces on popsicle sticks. If you're not creative, just grab a popsicle stick and put a smiley face on it. I'm serious. And make characters and recreate a scene from the Bible. If you are at the doctor's office waiting for the doctor, draw on the exam paper. Just take your time, make good use of the time while you're waiting for the doctor to visit. When you love God's word, it's going to rub off on your children. Some of our kids use their oatmeal in the morning, and they would make a path and say, "Look, Mom, it's the parting of the Red Sea, look," and we can discuss what God did there. Or bath time, my boys would anoint each other as David as the king in the bathtub. I mean, the Bible can come alive in your home. So there are many wonderful books that are rich in theology. So ask your table leaders. They may have some. There's stories of missionaries and princes who are brave for the one true king. Ask your table leader. Maybe you have a book to share. When the new library is established in our church, look there and share with your friends. Games are another way to enjoy play with your children. No pee here. I would like to go on the record and say that I think Chutes and Ladders is the worst game ever created for children. It's horrible. Honestly. But Candyland, if you're talking old school games, is a great game. It was always a favorite. We played tea party games, and we played cards, and they can really challenge your kids to use their brains. We played games like Spot It, which is a good one right now. It's out there now. Wig Out, Uno, Ziggity, Go Fish, Crazy Eight. You can play checkers or chess as they get older, cribbage. You're doing math. Everything's in 15s and 2s and 4s. They can work on colors and numbers, matching, and maybe a little bit of strategy at some point. We have a game that's it's like a programming game, and there's no words, but it ends up being like a step before computer programming where you have to make decisions. Great for the kids' brain. But really, anything can be a game, right? When you sort or fold your laundry, you can talk about colors, shapes, and counting. When you're at the grocery store, you can talk about colors and shapes and numbers and counting. When you're driving in the car, you can talk about colors, shapes, and counting. You get the point. We have so many opportunities to pour into our kids. You don't have to have a Pinterest day, Mom, or the perfect social media post, because I'm going to tell you a secret. Your kids don't care. They don't care. They don't care. Remember that. They want time with you. They don't want perfect time. My dad used to say, K-I-S-S. Keep it simple, stupid. And I think that's the key, right? Let's not knock ourselves out trying to scour the internet for the next best craft or activity or idea. Give your kids a day of endless pop and some fireworks to boot. If you live in Stevens County, can't do it here. Or something like that, right? You have lots of resources available to you right here in this room. Don't hesitate to take advantage of them. Ask God to help you. He is kind and generous, and he will help you. He says in James 1:5, if any of you ask wisdom, lacks wisdom, ask God who gives generously to all without fault, and it will be given to you. Your children are a gift. Enjoy them, because the days are long, but the years are fast, and you won't regret it. Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening to this audio from Faith Bible Church. Feel free to share. We only ask that you do not alter the content in any way and that you do not charge for it. Visit us online at fbchurch.org for more sermons, articles, and other resources, as well as information about our ministries.